Hello, Daniel.
Hello, good morning.
All right. I love the array of guitars behind you. And with that, why don't you start us off with an opening song?
You got it. Good morning, everybody. Hello. Nice to see you all. I've got this grid of faces so I can see you all. I see some familiar faces. Greetings from Orange County, California. And let's begin with this. This is the song that came to mind. I've seen my share of struggle when I thought that I knew best. And I've sailed through a storm instead of stopping to rest. But it always seems the hardest when I've made up my stubborn mind. Well, I'm changing my ways this time. Wanna be like water coming down a mountain into shadowy canyons, flowing from pool to stream. Wanna be like water, head uphill no more. I am bound for the sea. Have you ever seen an eagle head straight into the wind? He doesn't pick a fight, spreads his wings and just gives in. And in the end, he always makes it home just fine. Guess he knows that every storm subsides. Wanna be like water coming down a mountain into shadowy canyons, flowing from pool to stream. Wanna be like water, head uphill no more. I am bound for the sea. I'll let nature take its course. No more thinking that I know where this river's meant to go. I have railed against the stars for the cards that I've been dealt, for the lottery I've never won, for the heartache that I've felt. But it always seems when I let go of expectation and regret, life has plenty of surprises for me yet. I wanna be like water coming down a mountain into shadowy canyons, flowing from pool to stream. Wanna be like water, head uphill no more. I am bound for the sea. Wanna be like water coming down a mountain into shadowy canyons, flowing from pool to stream. Wanna be like water, head uphill no more. I am bound for the sea.
And with that, Daniel, all yours.
When my hands were empty, when my hope was gone, I couldn't help but wonder what had I done wrong. But even though my heart was broken, there was no need to despair, 'cause a vessel must be open to put something better there. Oh yeah. Into my empty hands, gently you me. Yours is a perfect plan. The ups and the downs were meant to be. Now I understand you needed my empty hands. So forgive me when I doubt it. I admit sometimes I do. Or consider giving up, 'cause I cannot see the truth. I know I'll never go without it. Your deep and abiding love, oh love, into my empty hands. Gently you pour new life for me. Yours is a perfect plan. The ups and the downs were meant to be. Now I understand you needed my empty. Is a perfect plan. The ups and the downs were meant to be, and I cannot help but cry to think of the gifts you've given. Now I understand you needed my empty hands. So thank you for my Well, that was the perfect daily word, actually, and the perfect recording to play for that Lord's Prayer, for exactly what's been on my mind lately, and what I thought I would chat with you and share with you a little bit today in songs and a couple of stories. But immediately, that Marvin Gaye recording becomes just the perfect example of something, and that is an admission and a surrender to human imperfection, to the absence of the illusion of control. So let me explain what I mean when I listen to that Marvin Gaye recording. So I'm in this room. It's like it's about, I don't know, 10 feet by 14 feet. Okay, small little room in a new house. My wife and I moved in an old house that we just moved into. It is a huge fixer-upper. The guitars on the wall behind me are the highlight of this room by far. There's nothing else happening except drywall that needs repair mostly. So behind this computer that I'm talking into is a studio computer. On that studio computer, I have recorded, I don't know, since I bought the computer, maybe a dozen records of my own and probably 10 or 15 albums of other people's. And it has very powerful software on it. There are probably 8 or 10 different pieces of software that a musician can buy to record that are kind of mainstream and available everywhere. They cost anywhere from $29 to $1,000 to buy the software itself. And when you have that software, it's like having the world's most amazing tape recorder. You can not just record something beautifully, but you can record yourself singing harmonies 1,000 times over. You can imitate instruments. You can pretend you're a cellist. I can pretend that I'm a soprano woman backup singer with the flick of a switch on this software. I can turn this keyboard that I just played a piano. It only happens to sound like a piano right now, but if I were to connect it to the computer, to the studio, it becomes a harpsichord or a pipe organ, and not just a pipe organ. And I don't have an extensive collection particularly, but I could probably make this piano sound like conservatively 50 different pipe organs. In 50 of the finest cathedrals in the world, including the acoustics of the cathedral, meaning the echoes of the cathedral were recorded and put into the software that I have on the computer behind me, in front of me here, so that I could sing into a $95 microphone, press a few buttons, and it would sound like I was singing into a $9,000 microphone in Abbey Road Studios where the Beatles recorded, right? These things are all emulated and imitated, and in a computer that you could buy today at Best Buy. And here's what I'm getting at. Not only could I play an organ part that sounds like I'm in Westminster Abbey, but I can record it and fix it so that not a note is out of place. I could play the singing is a little trickier, but even the singing that I just did, if I recorded what I just did, empty hands, if I recorded it into that studio computer right here, 2 feet away, and I did just a couple of little techniques, which are very simple, I could fix every pitch that I sang. I could line up every syllable exactly on time. If I wanted to, I could change the key of the piano and my voice. Okay? Now, and we're all familiar with this technology without being familiar with it. Every time we see a movie or turn on the radio, we're not hearing 99.9% of the time. We're not hearing what was actually done. We're hearing what was engineered and perfected. My wife and I have been watching the superhero movies, the Marvel movies again, because we have a lot of time on our hands and because they're really fun. And they are extraordinarily, brilliantly produced. There is not an errant shadow. There's no microphone that you can see, you know, in someone's face for a half a second. There's no accidental Starbucks cup in the shot, you know, of ancient whatever, you know, land. No mistakes at all. Every single frame engineered to be perfect. Okay? I assume you can still hear me, yes? Everybody going like this, make sure I can hear you because the screen just changed. Can everybody still hear me? We're still good? Okay.
Yep.
That's fine. Just making sure.
Yeah, we could hear you, Daniel. I don't know what's going on with the screen, but...
Okay, no problem. Just making sure. So now, I would say fast forward, but it's not fast forwarding. It's rewinding to Marvin Gaye in a studio. Now, granted, he did have, almost certainly, one of the world's finest microphones in one of the world's finest studios with one of the world's finest recording engineers when he sang that that song, when he sang the Lord's Prayer. But if you listen to that song, that recording, and I've never heard it before, and it was just, you know, just stunning, beautiful, there are 100 imperfections that would never be released on an album today. absolutely zero chance that if Justin Timberlake, literally zero, no chance at all, that if Justin Timberlake, I don't know, think of any major, Bruno Mars, and these are gifted people today. They don't accidentally become successful. But their record company and the producer, the people, you know, packaging their sound, would never let a recording be released to the public with any imperfections at all. And I'm putting imperfections in quotes over and over again, right? Breaths and individual little notes out of place. Listen back to the greatest songs ever recorded by the Beatles, which is about 100 of them. There are guitar strings out of tune. There are shakers and tambourines out of time. There are harmonies out of tune and out of time. And when I say out of time, I mean one part starts a millisecond later than another, right? Two people singing harmony. Now, on this screen right here, on an off-the-rack computer, I can cut and paste individual syllables to line up 24 background parts to the millisecond so that we are perfect. Again, perfect in quotes. And that Marvin Gaye recording is a perfect example of humanity being just tangibly and intangibly superior to that kind of chemically engineered perfection when it comes to simple beauty, right? If they had, they being people in the studio and the record company and so on, if they had their hands, I was going to say their grubby little hands, but that's not fair. If they had their hands on that Marvin Gaye recording and it was contemporary, it was now, it would be engineered and spliced and doctored within an inch of its life, such that when we listen to it, we'd feel 8% less of his soul. Okay, just shaving off the top, and yet we know from listening to, from watching American Idol, or even just listening to singers at a club, there's lots of good singers. Right, there's lots of good singers. Marvin Gaye wasn't a good singer, okay? He was a good singer with a profound internal instrument. And what's lost from perfecting, what would have been lost from perfecting that beautiful vocal would have been, in my opinion, that extra brilliant sparkle, right? It could have been doctored out. And instead of feeling him, we would have just been impressed by how perfect the pitch was. Those of us who would notice. And if we didn't notice, we just wouldn't hear anything particularly human. We wouldn't hear a breath. They would, I edit out breaths all the time. Can't hear breaths. Now, contrast that with a piece of paper that my boy wrote for me a couple of days ago. And this is telling me, and should tell all of you, what a hypocrite I am when I talk about allowing things to be human and unfold in their own time and in their own way without the illusion of control, okay? I don't believe in the good old days inherently, but I would argue that Marvin Gaye recording was better served coming out before this computer existed, okay? Now we have a note from my boy. I'm not sure why he left it for me to see. He might not have actually left it for me to see. He might have actually just been doing it because every so often, I'm kidding, but when he's forced to not do anything electronic, that's when his creative impulses come out. That's when he builds something or colors something or draws something or writes something. And this is what he wrote. He wrote two pages, and now I'm going to read it to you so you can understand where I'm going with this. Elmo's to-do list. Number one, I'm reading it verbatim. One, colon. I'm impressed with the use of colons. He's 8, by the way, Jude. Wake up at 6 o'clock. Tragically accurate. 2. eat breakfast with, I'm proud to say, successful hyphenation of the word breakfast. 3, watch me play Minecraft. 4, free time for 1 hour. 5, have lunch. The whole morning's gone, apparently. 6, if daddy can, we go out. 7, come back. 8, I think my favorite, do whatever. 9, eat dinner and watch a movie. 10, get ready for bed. 11, read a book. 12, lights out at 8 o'clock. Now, I'm no Elmo expert particularly, but I'm thinking that's a more regimented day than Elmo's ever had. I don't know if you've ever listened to Elmo talk, but he's mostly yawning, giggling, and asking for hugs. So it would seem that at 8 years old, Jude is already a pretty good reflection of his daddy. Just call me Mr. To-Do List. I've met most of you, and I'm sure I've talked about it in your presence before. But you know, I'm a child of two lawyers, and I'm an economics major in college and a computer programmer after college. And even though I feel deeply when I'm making music, I also am thinking, not deeply, but thinking a lot. As an entrepreneur, I'm thinking a lot. As in the computer stuff, I'm thinking a lot. In other words, I've got my cerebral side and my cynical side, and I am making plans and worrying and making my to-do list, as evidenced by my little boy. And so I am not at all immune to that illusion of control. But it seems to me that at this particular moment, this really weird and disturbing moment where 2 days ago or whatever it was, I think it was Thursday, I sang a couple of songs for my mom's aunt who died. Okay, she died at almost 99 years old just this past week. And the memorial service, the gravesite service had about, I couldn't tell how many, maybe 15, 20 people who were wearing face masks while 40 or 50 of us were watching on Zoom, and where the rabbi threw it to nephew Danny to sing a couple of songs, okay? This is a strange time. If you're feeling like you've never quite felt anything like this before, join the ginormous club of all of us who are wondering what the hell is going on and why we're at funerals wearing masks and when it ends and if it ends and what happens then. And I mean, I remember September 11th, I'm sure most or all of you do as well, September 11th, 2001, and watching on TV, whether when the planes hit those towers, you know, when the plane hit the second tower or shortly after, if you didn't turn on at that point, we collectively, I think, wondered if the world would ever be the same. And in fact, it felt categorically to me anyway, like the world would never be the same. I remember thinking I will never be able to relax again when I hear a plane in the sky. Does anybody else remember that feeling? No plane in the sky is ever going to feel normal and unworrying again. I remember feeling it in the days after. We were all out of control then, right? There was nothing anybody could do except clean up the mess, clean up the sites of those crimes. If we were in New York or Pennsylvania or wherever, or the rest of us were really just left wondering what the hell just happened and what's going to happen next. None of us had any say in anything in any global sense. It's the same sort of feeling you get when the stock market crashes. tsunami hit in Asia, Hurricane Katrina, most of us, you know, too far to do anything other than watch. And we have, I think, collectively a sinking feeling in those moments that we are just not at all in control. We can't stop it from happening. We can't fix it. We don't know when it will end. And nothing may ever be the same again. So, what do we do with a helpless or a controlless feeling? What do we do? Because we're not wrong. We actually can't fix this. You know, the public health messaging that we've all been receiving is, you know, if you stay at home, you help save a life. Okay, that's nice. I'm not sure most of us feel that concretely, that we're saving a life. I mean, I had to wear a mask to go get a Slurpee yesterday. I felt more than a little ridiculous, not because I'm buying a Slurpee as a grown man, but because there was nobody else in the store. There was a giant plexiglass shield between me and the guy at the counter. In fact, I wasn't allowed to pump the Slurpee. He had to go fill the Slurpee. Because suddenly my hands are radioactive, I guess, or something. And, you know, it's a time when I can't change anything culturally. I can't make any large scale changes, and I can't decide how this goes. I'm not in control. You're not in control. So it makes me question or remember, since I happen to have written the song Water and other songs like it and Empty Hands, it makes me revisit the message in those songs and the lesson that I clearly still need to learn if my boy is writing, 13-hour to-do lists for his Elmo doll. Clearly, he's learning a tiny bit of control issue from his daddy. So what is it that I can control? Because it ain't the virus, it ain't the news, it ain't the politics. I mean, I guess staying home is a favor to somebody, sort of vaguely. I guess that's control I have. But what can I control? Well, it feels to me like the same thing that I can control in a moment of crisis like this is actually what I can control on a daily basis. You see, that's the trick. I used to joke, my brothers and I used to joke with our mom on Mother's Day, if we'd forget to get her something as little stinker boys, we would say, "But Mom, every day is Mother's Day." She never bought it, but it was, you know, it felt like a good line at the time. And, The difference between now with this worldwide health crisis, the difference between now and when there is no such crisis is not that at other times we are in some broad control and now we're not. In my opinion, the difference is now our lack of control is just that much more obvious. In other words, if I say, what do you do when you're not in control of global circumstances? The answer is the same whether there's a virus or whether it's just a normal day on Wall Street or whether it's a normal day on Main Street. It's not a different answer. It's a trick answer, like every day is Mother's Day. Well, every day we have things to control and most things we don't. This is all, of course, my opinion. I don't control the stock market. I don't control my wife's mood. I don't control my boy's mood, for God's sake. He's a lunatic sometimes. I don't control whether a song will be good or whether a CD will sell. I don't control the weather, needless to say. I don't control whether my neighbors will be nice or not. I don't control whether something is kind of going wrong in my body. I kind of don't. I mean, we all have had moments where we go to the doctor and we get a surprise. And frequently that surprise flies in the face of the thing we've always been told that we were preventing by doing A, B, and C. Ah, but I eat fiber every day, or but I take my vitamins, or but I've always walked. You know, I don't, the most random reference I can think of is Jim Fix, the jogger. You guys remember Jim Fix from years ago? He wrote book after book after book about jogging and then dropped dead of a heart attack while jogging. It's not ironic, it's not funny, anything, but it is just a reminder that some things we can control and some things we can't. So the things we can control today are no different than the things we can control when there is no worldwide epidemic or pandemic or whatever you want to call it. So what can we control? What is up to you today? What's up to you? How I react, whether I'm kind, to myself, whether I'm kind to my family. It's up to me whether I walk, take a walk. It's up to me whether I despair or not. It's up to me whether I flood my head with dismal headlines or don't. It's up to me whether I have fun today. It's up to me whether I laugh today. What else? It's up to me whether I call somebody I love today. It's up to me whether I answer the phone when someone I love calls me. It's up to me whether I spend or don't money I have or don't on something I need or want or don't, right? My consumer choices, we still have them. Those are still in my control. It's up to me whether I'm creative today, right? Whether I decide to write a song or not. It's up to me whether I pet the dog. We have our little dog, Gigi. It's up to me whether I'm affectionate. It's up to me whether I let things roll off me or whether I build them up like a little Danny time bomb and blow up at some moment not of my choosing. It's up to me whether I hold on to a grudge today. Now, the list of things that aren't up to me, I've already talked about. I mean, it's endless, that I am in absolutely no control over. The things that I'm in control over, however, are actually, in my opinion, that 8% of the Marvin Gaye performance that makes that performance that much, that sweet and that brilliant and that beautiful. The shine, the cherry on the top of the sundae, the thing that distinguishes a beautiful day from a day that hurts is these, call them little, decisions that are in my control, not out of my control. Do I stop reading the headlines and go pet the dog? That is a tangible, specific, and tiny decision. Tiny. No one would even notice I was making that decision. But my day is transformed by doing it. It's the same me in the same clothes, in the same house, in the same quarantine, same 12 hours, whatever it is. Or with Jude waking up at 6, same 16 hours of being awake. But I have done the thing that is actually in my control to do. I owe a couple of phone calls, a couple of elderly people who I know they have other people in their lives, but it matters to get a call from somebody. It matters, even if they don't pick up the phone. It matters, right? Because they receive a message thinking about you. Let me know if you need anything from the grocery store. That's it. Right, that choice versus laying on the couch and wondering how I'm going to pay the bills. Because the wonder and the worry, actually, the worry has never, no one, you know, the Dr. King phrase, holding a grudge. I can't even paraphrase it right now. I bet you Michael knows it, but you know that holding a grudge actually kills you. It's like, oh, that's what it is. It's It's taking poison and expecting the other person to die, something along those lines. Well, when we lay around worrying, it is definitely mission accomplished for a wide array of media companies. It is. And politicians, and I mean, people profit from our worry. They do. They do. I don't mean to sound conspiratorial. It's just true. There's a lot of profit to be made from fear and worry. Okay? But when we can focus in on the things we can control, we can actually turn off that channel, literally and figuratively. That is in our control. We're not changing the news that's actually happening. But of course, we wouldn't change the news by worrying about it either. So sometimes I am, frequently I'm reminded that my wife is smarter than me. And my wife has a rule about news, which is if it's only designed to upset her and there's nothing she can do about it, she doesn't want to know. Right? And I'm not saying this entire morning isn't about turning off the news, but it is a good example of something you can control. When you start looking at inputs into your daily life that you can control, it's an interesting question to ask. Is this something that's going to make my day easier or harder, more carefree or more worried? And do I have the option of doing something else? The things that are in our control may be a narrow band, but they're the important band. Those are the things that make a day sweeter, a marriage sweeter, a relationship with a child or a friendship sweeter, that make creativity sweeter, that make sleep deeper, that make love bigger, that make hugs more beautiful. These are the choices, the 7 or 8%, the stuff that is beyond our control that Marvin Gaye admitted with that recording, that my boy apparently is going to have a hard time admitting when he's a grown-up. There are things we can control and things we can't. The things that we can control are actually, fortuitously, the most important things. So I wish you today and every day this week and going forward, as we're all sort of hunkered down in this bizarre way, I wish you, and I wish myself, to be honest, because it's not something that I don't struggle with either. I wish all of us the capacity to choose in the areas in which we have the power to choose just a little bit more peace of mind, just a little bit more kindness, a little bit more sweetness, a little bit more creativity, a little better sleep, a little better food, a little fresh air when we're allowed. I don't know where you are, what the rules are like. Around here, if you take a little walk, you get a couple of dirty looks. People cross the street when they see you coming. I can't blame people, but there are choices that I can make. And I'm working to choose in the areas that I have the control, that I can decide how my day feels. And as I said, that's actually always true, whether there's a global fear or whether it's just another day around the world. Every day is actually that series of narrow but priceless choices that we have. I'm not saying I'm blazing new ground with this idea, but it just occurred to me between Marvin Gaye, which I obviously didn't know I was going to hear this morning, and my boy's to-do list. My boy was trying to control Elmo's day. And we all know why. Just like we all want to have the... we all want to feel like we're in control of something. And that's a natural and human... actually, it's a living thing characteristic. But I think we benefit when we can acknowledge the things we can't control and let them be outside of our blinder. At least sometimes. I feel better when I'm working in the world that is mine rather than in a world that is swirling around outside, doing its damnedest to confuse and scare me. Let me sing you a song. I'm through asking where I'm going, I've been asking all my life. I've grown tired of all this wondering, when everything seems to turn out right. So when my mind needs something to do, wants to know the future, I whisper this: I'm okay. I've always been, and I'll always be that way. You want to sing that line with me? I'm okay. I'm okay. I've always been. I've always been, and I'll always be that way, and I'll always be that way. So here goes nothing. I'm taking a chance. I'm opening up, knowing that I'm in good hands. And here goes everything. It's all on the line. Oh, but I'm not afraid this time. Some say it's crazy, some say naive, to close my eyes and take the leap. But I know better, 'cause I believe, even in the dark, my soul can see. So when my mind plays its usual games, oh, my answer is always the same. And here goes nothing. I'm taking a chance. I'm opening up, knowing that I'm in good hands. And here goes everything. It's all on the line. Oh, but I'm not afraid this time. No, I'm not afraid this time, 'cause I'm okay. I've always been, and I'll always be that way. I'm okay. I've always been. I've always been. And I'll always be that way. Oh, thanks.